Okay, so we're in the Braisa de Rabbi Shmuel, we're up to the seventh klal, which reads as follows. After the klal uprat and prat uklal, klal uprat uklal. So the seventh rule is like this. Miklal shehu tzarech lefrat, umiprat shehu tzarech lechlal. A klal means a general statement, shehu tzarech lefrat, that requires a specification to clarify its meaning. And then, vice versa, it's all part of the same rule, mipracha utzarech lechlal, a specification that needs a klal, a general statement, to clarify its meaning. Now this is understood, the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Peches, explains what this rule is. To get it clear with the example, as many of these rules, the clarity and understanding what the rule is when you have an example. But here the Gemara, the Sugi in Chulin, Daf Peches, addresses this issue beferish. When it's discussing the mitzvah of Kisui Hadam, I'll give you a brief introduction about the mitzvah of Kisui Adam. And the pasuk in Parshas Achrei Mois tells us that when you shecht a chaya or an oif, a chaya is a wild, non-domestic animal, an oif is a bird. When you shecht a chaya or an oif, v'chisahu ba'afa, you should take the blood of the shechita, and v'chisahu ba'afa, you should cover it with dirt. This mitzvah is called Kisui Adam, covering the blood with dirt, and there's an entire perek devoted to this in the Masechet Chulin, the sixth perek. It's called Kisui Adam. So the Gemara there in Parak Kisui Adam, in the Chulin Daf Pei Ches Amid Beis, says that the terminology V'chisahu Ba'afar, V'chisahu, is a general statement. V'chisahu, you should cover it. So the general statement is Ma'abe, not just dirt, even though it says Ba'afar, which means with dirt, but V'chisahu, the general statement is Ma'abe, any powdery substance. For example, the Gemara says, like the sawdust of a carpenter, or something like that. Any powdery substance is good enough for Kisui Adam. And the Gemara says, why do we say that any powdery substance is good enough? Let's say V'chisahu is a klal, a general statement. Ba'afar is a prat, a specification. And we have the old rule, rule number four, miklal uprat, that whenever you say klal uprat, we say ein b'chlal elamasha b'prat. Right? The prat is a limitation on the klal. And let's say afar in midi achrini loy, that it should be, that you should have to, in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of Kisui Adam, you should have to cover it specifically with dirt. So the Gemara says, no, this is a unique case of a klal uprat. This is a klal shehu tzarech lefrat, which is our rule right here. Klal shehu tzarech lefrat means that the klal, over here, the general statement of v'chisahu, the definition of v'chisahu is gufa unclear. The word covering is not so clear. We need a prat to clarify its meaning. Because kisui, covering, could mean two things. Could mean one of two things. It could mean actually to put a lid on it, to cover, like to turn over a bowl on top of the blood. That could be the definition of covering it. Or it could mean a different type of covering, to spread a powdery substance which absorbs the blood, similar to dirt. So the Gemara says there that since the word v'chisahu is gufa unclear, we don't know if it means putting a lid on it, or putting spreading a powdery layer that absorbs the blood, so therefore the word afar that it says is not just telling you with what you should cover the blood, but it's also explaining and defining the word kisui. It's explaining to us the meaning of the word kisui, and this is called klal hatzarech lefrat, where the general statement needs the prat, needs the specification to clarify the meaning of the general statement itself. In this case, we don't say that it's like a klal uprat, and ain b'chlal ela masha b'prat. No, we say anything that fits that definition. In other words, any powdery substance that can absorb the blood, that's good enough. So even though it says v'chisahu, the general statement, and then ba'afar the prat, we don't say ain b'chlal ela masha b'prat. We say it's a prat, it's a klal shehu tzarech lefrat, a general statement that needs the clarification of the prat to define what type of covering we're talking about, and therefore, over here, you don't have to do the mitzvah of Kisui Adam specifically with dirt. You could do it with any powdery substance that absorbs the blood. That's miklal shehu tzarech lefrat. The other case is vice versa, miprat shehu tzarech lechlal. It's not good to get into that. There is a Gemara that discusses this aspect of the rule. Gemara in Bukhairis, Daf Yutes Amid Aleph. You could look it up if you want, but the case gets very involved. But the klal advarim is the same. Over there, it's just vice versa. The prat, the specification was unclear until the klal helped us to find the right definition of the prat. But the general rule over here in rule number Zion, rule number 7, is miklal shehu tzarech lefrat and miprat shehu tzarech lechlal. We don't treat it like a klal uprat or a prat uklal, since the klal itself, for the first statement, his needs requires the second one, like the klal, needs the prat gufa to explain to us the definition of covering, the definition of kisui. In such a case, we say that anything that fits into that general definition is included in the mitzvah. Okay, so that's rule number seven. Now comes the eighth one, and the eighth one is an interesting one. Kol davar shahaya b'chlal v'yatza min haklal l'lamed, loy l'lamed al atzma yatza, elo l'lamed al haklal kuloy yatza. So now, what does this mean? Let's tie cheat's word. What?
Why is it in this order?
I don't know. No idea. Some of them maybe you could figure out that follow the others, two of them that are similar, but these are 13 rules. I'm not sure if there's any chashivas to the order. Al-Kabanim, so the eighth rule is like this. Kol davar shahaya b'chlal, anything that was included in a general statement, the yatza min haklal l'lamed, it was singled out by the Torah to teach a certain halacha. So we say the rule is, loy l'lamed al-atzma yatza, it's not coming to teach this rule, to teach this din, I should say, only by itself. Ela l'lamed al haklal kula yatza. It's teaching us a din that will apply to the entire general category. For example, we had a recent example in Parshas Tzav. It says in the pasuk there that a person who's tameh, a person who's not tar, he's aser lechol basar kachim. He's not allowed to eat. The Torah says, kol tar yaychal basar. In order to eat the meat of a carbon, a person has to be tar. You can't be tameh. That's a pasuk in Parshas Tzav. Now, right after that pasuk that it says that a person who's tameh cannot eat meat from a karban, it says that if a tameh person eats the meat of a shlamim, then he gets karas. So now there was a general rule, right? A tameh can't eat all karbanas. A tameh can't eat meat of any karban. And then comes the next pasuk, it's yatza min achlal lalamid. It's singled out. Shlamim is singled out. That some a tameh person who eats shlamim, then he deserves karas. He gets karas. So without this rule, I might have thought, only if you eat basa shlamim, you get karas. But if you eat basar of a chatas, if a tummy person eats a chatas or an ashram or something else, so he's not chayav karas. But this rule tells us no. Loy l'lamed al atzma yatza. When this pasuk came out to teach us a din that when you eat a basar, a tummy who eats basar shlamim gets karas, is not coming to teach us only l'gabi itself. Ela l'lamed al haklal kula yatza. It's teaching us a rule, a din that applies to the entire general category. Anybody who any tummy who eats any type of basar kachim, not only the shlamim. He is chay of karis, just like the pasuk says, legabe shlamim. That's the rule. Lo lamed al atzma yatza, elo lamed al haklal kula yatza. It's teaching us a din that applies to the general category. It's interesting about this this rule, this eighth rule. It was once a wealthy yid from Mexico who said an interesting pshat. Obviously, not a simple pshat, but an interesting pshat in these words. He donated a lot of money to a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and when he was asked to speak about it, everyone was surprised, like why he was donating so much money to a yeshiva. So he explained that he was saved from the Holocaust many years ago, and for many years he was always bothered him. He was always wondering why dafka he was saved. So many people were killed, and all his relatives were killed, his parents and his siblings. And why was he chosen of the entire family to be saved? And it always bothered him, and he was trying to figure out first episode that he was saved. And he said one day during davening, he was reading Rabbi Shmuel Leimer, and he came across an insight. He read this rule that it says, "Kol davar shahaya b'chlal, v'yatza min haklal alamid, lo l'lamid al atzma yatza, ela l'lamid al haklal kula yatza." Whether he knew the simple pshat, I don't know, but this is the way the person touched it up. He said something that was in a general public, and he was talking about himself, that he himself was in a klal, in a tzibur, right? V'yatza min haklal, he was the one who was singled out to be different than everybody in the cloud. So Hashem is telling him, Lo l'lamed al atzma yatza. The reason that he was saved was not for his own purposes. Elo l'lamed al haklal kula yatza. Hashem saved him in order that he should help the entire tzibur and to help Klal Yisrael. And what is better way is there to help Klal Yisrael than to donate money to a yeshiva where people are becoming Talmidei Chachamim and helping the future of Klal Yisrael. So it's interesting how this person darshaned this rule. Obviously the rule has nothing to do with that. The rule has to do with a limud of how to dash in the psukim of the Torah, but this is what he saw in the rule, that if somebody was saved, was singled out from a general public, from a klal, lo l'lamed al atzma yatza, elo l'lamed al haklal kula yatza. It could be once this person already dashed it concerning people, maybe we could apply it as well to the world of B'nai Torah. Maybe we could say like this, kol davar shahaya b'chlal. Somebody is in a general public. The yatza min achlal alamid. Yatza min achlal is somebody that's singled out, somebody who's exceptional. lalami, that he's able to teach. That's the menachal lalami. There are certain people that feel like they have a talent, that they could express things clearly, they could be a good teacher. So he should realize that Hashem is telling him, loy lalami al atzma yatsa. Shouldn't only use his talents to make things clear to himself and to understand his own learning. Klal Yisrael needs good rabbeim. People feel like they have a talent where they could be a good rabbi. So it's not just that he should use these talents to help his own shtaging and his own learning. But anyway, we like to dash in this rule. We shouldn't forget the simple pshat in the rule that if there's a pasuk, if there's something that's included in the general category and then is singled out, so the din that's singled out, let's say the example we gave was that a person, a tamei, who eats basar shlamim, is chayav karis. That's to teach you about the entire general category. Any tamei who eats any type of kachim is chayav karis as well. Okay, so now the next two rules really go together. It's two contrasting rules, but let's take them one at a time. Rule number 9 and rule number 10. A little bit complicated, but again, with the examples, I think we can understand it very clearly. Kol davar shahaya b'chlal. What does this mean? Kol davar shahaya b'chlal. Anything that was included in a general statement. It was now singled out to discuss a certain din, shahuki in yonai, which is similar to the general category. Then we say that it's singled out only to provide us with a kula, a lenient din, not to be machmir. For example, the Rishayim give already the example, the Avudram over here in the davening, and Rashi and his Pirish on the Brice of Rabbi Shmuel. The Avudram and Rashi say the following example to this rule. The example is at the end of Parshas Emor, the Pasuk says, Umakei Adam, you must. If someone strikes a person and kills him, you must. He's subject to the death penalty, he has to be put to death. That's the din Makei Adam, you must. It's a general statement. It doesn't say if the person did it b'mezid or b'shoigeg, intentionally or unintentionally. It says, Makei Adam Yumas, if you strike a person and he dies, so then Yumas, the person who killed him, has to be put to death. However, if you look later in Sefer Dvarim, in Pasha Shaiftim, the Pasuk says that if someone is a Reitzeach b'shoigeg, he kills unintentionally, he's the whole story that he's chopping wood, and unintentionally it comes out that he ends up killing a person. So the Pasuk says that his din is that he has to go into Galus, he has to run away to one of the cities called an Ir Miklat. So you might think, what do you mean? If a person who killed b'shoigeg was included in the general statement of umakei adam yumas, so he's chayav misa, he's subject to the death penalty. So if the Torah says that he has to go to galus, so that might mean in addition to being chayav misa, he first has to run to a certain city, and then he's chayav misa. So this rule tells us no. Kol davar shahaya b'chlal. This reitzeach b'shoigeg was in the general rule, in the general category of a killer, of a murderer. So yatsa litain tayan echad, and now the Torah and Pasha shayftim told us a specific din, that he's chayav galus, he has to run to an ir miklat, shahuki in yonai, it's a similar scenario, the Avudram explained, it's similar, shazehemis vizehemis, each one killed, the mezid and the shegeg, one was intentional, one was unintentional, but it's a similar scenario, where one person killed another person, so then the rule is, yatza lahakel v'loy lahachmir, we say that he was singled out to teach us a kula, he's not chayav misa, he's only chayav to go to galus, he's only chayav to go to the ir miklat. We don't say to be machmir on him, that in addition to the chi of Misa, he also has to run to galus. We say, yatza lahakel v'loy lahachmir, that he singled out to teach us a kula, that all he has to do is go to galus, but he's not chay of Misa like someone who murders b'mezid. So that's rule number 9. Kol davar shahaya b'chlal v'yatza litain tayan echot shuhukin yanoi, yatza lahakel v'loy lahachmir, something that was in the general statement, and then was singled out to discuss a specific din, which could be called ki'in yanoi, that it's similar, they both killed, so one is mezid, one is shaygi, but it's similar. Then the rule is yatza lahakel v'loy lahachmir, that it's singled out to teach us a kula and not to teach us a chumrah.